became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we saw his glory. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David named Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel then said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And with that, the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We're here at the most famous church in the world dedicated to Our Lady, specifically consecrated to her motherhood, to her title, Theotokos, that she is the God-bearer, she is the mother of the eternal Son of God, that she is the one who gave birth to the one through whom she was made. We'll see so much imagery here about that mystery of her being mother of God. And today in the Gospel, we see how that happened. We see what God's proposal was, what her questions were, and what her response was. God had been waiting for all time for this to occur. This was, if you read the letter to the Ephesians, not just happening because of original sin, but before the foundation of the world, God had this desire to become one of us. And so the Archangel Gabriel was sent with great specificity to Mary and said, "Rejoice, you who have been filled with grace." That first word, kyre in Greek, shows that God's first word in the redemption is about joy. He was coming to Mary. This is going to be the flourishing of the greatest news. Ke keratomene is that next word. You who have been filled with grace. Many who look at the mystery of the incarnation see here that she had been filled to the brim with grace. There was no room for sin, no room for anything else. Whether you want to look at sin as a negative thing or as a privative thing, she was full of God. There was no room for something that was not of God within her. The Lord is with you. The Lord was with her because she was full of grace, but the Lord was going to be with her in a totally different, new way. But instead of rejoicing because of that reality, she was troubled. In the same way that many of us can take criticism more easily than we can take sincere compliments. But the angel Gabriel took away her fears. "Don't be afraid, for you have truly found favor with God." Then he expresses God's great plan. You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him God Saves, Yeshua. He'll be great, called Son of the Most High. She's hearing all of these phrases, that you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. The Lord will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. For what she had been praying as a faithful young Jewish girl, it was going to be receiving fulfillment in her. But she had a big time question. You know, sometimes in the early church, they needed to describe how Mary was a perpetual virgin. Sometimes today, people don't get it. It's right here in the language. Mary's response to the angel, how can this be? And in Hebrew, there's no distinction between the present and the future tense. How can this be? For I do or will not know man. Mary wasn't an idiot. She well knew if she was going to conceive a child in a normal way, how that would occur. She was already betrothed to Joseph. For her even to ask the question shows that somehow she had already consecrated herself in virginity to the Lord. How will this be? For I will not know man. Are you going to be asking me to break that promise, that covenant I had made? It was not a question of doubt, like Zechariah's doubt in the temple when God had heard Zechariah's prayer and said Sarah would conceive. Zechariah responded by saying, she's too old and I'm advanced in years. Mary was just asking about modality. Are you going to ask me to change what I had already committed? And that's when the angel said, no, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. He'll come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. God's incredible plan for her and in her for all of us. God wishes for us to rejoice, wishes for us to be filled with grace. We're not filled with grace from the first moment of our existence, as she was. We're not immaculately conceived. But God's plan for us is to be filled with every spiritual blessing in heaven through baptism, the sacraments, and God's own action by our cooperation. He wants to be with us and wants us to be with Him. And He calls each of us just as much as He called Mary. Our role in His kingdom is different. But He didn't make us as a player to be named later with no role on the field. And we see Mary's response, which is meant to be emulated in the life of every Christian. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to your word. She placed herself fully at God's service. Her servium counterposed the devil's non-servium. She was going to become the servant, not just of her son, but together with her son, the servant of all the rest. She would become the greatest of all saints, because Jesus said the greatest in his kingdom is the one who doesn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for others. And Mary poured out her life and still does for us. She was able to conceive the word of God within because she pondered that word so much that that word, it was able to take on her flesh. Mary's motherhood is to help recapitulate those mysteries in each of us. And so that happens in two ways. First, Mary is our mother too. It's always beautiful when we have Mass in front of this ancient crucifix, because we remember Mary's standing at the foot of the cross. There were three annunciations in Mary's life. We just heard the first. Second annunciation happened in the temple when Simeon said, this child is destined for the ruin and resurrection of many in Israel. A sign to be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. It's a second annunciation for Mary that this birth that she had would be lived out in suffering and contradiction, that not everybody was going to embrace him, not everybody would embrace her. But she said fiat to that second annunciation from the lips of Simeon, moved by the Holy Spirit. And then the third annunciation happened on Golgotha, when Jesus himself was the messenger, looking out on Mary with the disciple whom he loved, St. John. He turned to the disciple and said, "Behold your mother, and woman, behold your son." I think it's very fitting that St. John, it wasn't merely out of some type of humble anonymity that he didn't name himself. He wanted every disciple, in a sense, to be there in him, because we're all much loved by the Lord. And it was there that Mary was embracing us as her beloved child, and that he was giving us an annunciation to embrace her. That her motherhood of Jesus was meant to lead to her motherhood of the mystical body of Christ. Each one of us. St. John, we know, at the foot of the cross, took Mary into his own, into his home. And he began to live the rest of his life with Mary as she accompanied him and helped him to learn how to accept God's grace, God's fulfillment, God's vocation, God's mission, her son in Holy Communion, with the same love with which she received him in Nazareth. And that's that same invitation to us. And then the third aspect is not just our individual mothers. Mary on Calvary became the mother of Christ's mystical body. You know, if you look in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, you see the image of the church exemplified by Mary, this woman crowned with stars, with the moon under her feet, crying out in the child in the pains of childbirth. Some theologians have been mistaken over the course of the centuries and basically thought that that was describing Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. It wasn't. There was no sin involved, so probably no pain in childbirth. The Orthodox theologians in the early centuries described Jesus' childbirth as virginity in partu, that Jesus passed through the walls of Mary's womb, similar to passing through the closed doors of the upper room, that she didn't lose her virginity in the opposite direction either. But the pains of childbirth were happening on Golgotha, as her son, the head of that body, was suffering as he was, and her heart similarly was being pierced with it. But nevertheless, as she was embracing that reality, she was becoming the mother of her son's mystical body, all of us together. And so as we come to venerate Mary, one of the things that Pope Francis was doing a week ago yesterday with this new feast of Mary, Mother of the Church, is to show, yes, she's Jesus' mother. Yes, she is our mother. But if she's really Jesus' mother and our mother, then she's the mother of the family, which Jesus and everybody else who looks to her as mother are members. And that just as God wants us to be one, so a mother wants us to be one. So to mark Mary is to venerate her, is to allow her maternal wish to come to fulfillment, and to become more and more one, more and more that family that loves each other, that every mom wants for her home. When I think of Mary, the mystery that has always spoken to me most is the wedding feast of Cana. She went there and she noticed that the couple had a problem well before anybody adverted to it. Even the wine steward, even the mother of the bride, we could say, had noticed that they had run out of wine. And she immediately sprung into action, went to Jesus, which is how she always acts. Says simply, "They have no wine." And in that dialogue, we see Jesus say to her, "What's that to you and to me? My hour hasn't yet come." She didn't have to say anything else. She knew him well enough. She just turned to the servants and said, "Do whatever he says." That's when the servants did, and Jesus worked his first public miracle before he really wanted to, according to his plan. Mary's before her son right now saying, "Your son, your daughter, in the chapel of the crucifix at St. Mary Major Basilica, who's come here to honor me, needs this or needs that," before we've even adverted to it. She never ceases to pray for us in that way. And we just need to open ourselves up to allow her to serve us that way. If you look at the apparitions in Rudabaugh to St. Catherine Laboure, Mary in that image had rings on her fingers. lot of golden rings, which were so magnificent that St. Catherine Laboureille asked. And then there were some rings that were basically not shining, a little dark. And so St. Catherine asked Mary, what's going on with the rings? Why are only some so brilliant? She said, the rings that are brilliant are those graces that I've asked for my son that the people have actually received. She said, what about the dull rings? And Mary said, those are the graces for which I've already obtained, but that the people haven't received. Our receiving the graces that she intercedes for us give luster to her, we could say. And how much she wants us to receive all of them. The greatest gift that she intercedes for us to receive is the gift of her son, that we might be able to receive him just as she did as a young girl. St. John Paul II, at the end of his beautiful encyclical on the Eucharist, said that Mary's fiat at the Annunciation and our amen at Holy Communion go together. That when the angel came and said, you will conceive and bear a son, she said, let it be done to me according to your word. And that when the church, through the minister, says the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, our amen, a Hebrew verb that means to uphold, we're saying that this reality is going to be the real foundation of my life. Mary's praying for that gift. Let's please our mother by receiving it the way we as young children used to open up gifts on Christmas Day. Praise be Jesus Christ.